The people at KPMG make the difference for their clients. Talented teams leveraging the right technology to uncover insights that illuminate opportunity. KPMG teams together with their clients working shoulder to shoulder with them to help grow and transform their enterprise. Are you ready to make the difference together? Go to visit.kpmg.us/transformation to learn more.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lee Salisbury here, and welcome to your favourite podcast. And if it's not your favourite, I hope it's in the top 10 of your favourites podcast, Soap from the Box. We go behind the scenes of the country's biggest shows, and not just the country's biggest shows, but two of Australia's as well, Home and Away and Neighbours, which is coming back next year. EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, Hollyoaks, all the stars come here to talk. And this week, it's time for Ricky... Yes, Sid Owen, EastEnders' very own Sid Owen. He's returning very soon. No details have been released as yet, but I caught up with him to talk about life on EastEnders when he was in it, and also his book, which you can get right now for Christmas. Enjoy. Ricky! My guest today is infamous for playing Ricky Butcher on and off in EastEnders since 1988. He's also been a star on Strictly, I'm a Celeb. He's been in Bad Girls. He's appeared in a film alongside Al Pacino and Donald Sutherland and had a top 20 single. He's just released his autobiography, From Rags to Ricky. It's one of Britain's most enduring soap icons, Mr. Sid Owen. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. Lee, long time. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Good, thanks, mate. First of all, best book title. I mean, it kind of goes up there with it, From the Year Dot, which was June Brown's one. Brilliant. Who came up with the title? Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think Shane Ritchie had From Rags to Ritchie.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, years ago. But no, it was the only title that could be used, really. You know, very appropriate.
And, like, why now? Why, right? Because I'm sure you've been asked to write, you know, one before. What was that? Why now?
Well, I just felt it was time. I was ready, you know. I'm, you know, sort of, as I'm getting older, I'm not, you know, obviously not getting any younger. So, I felt it was time to, you know, share my experiences and my, you know, sort of growing up, how I grew up was, you know, if it's... it was going to sort of help in some sort of way, you know, with a lot of, you know, these issues on sort of mental health and
people
coming from sort of broken backgrounds and stuff like that. So I just thought it was the right timing, you know, and it was very, you know, cathartic and sort of therapeutic going through all the old stuff as well, you know, obviously in a good way and a bad way. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because it's like you said, it must be... like, great, digging up the past, but also then it must kind of take you back there straight away as well.
It does. You know, at first, when I, you know, first started writing, it was, you know, I was getting sort of angry and anxious and, you know, it was, I was just going through all kinds of weird emotions. And then as I started getting into it, it was actually, I sort of found it, you know, it was just helping me again, you know, as we know, it's, unless you talk about something and get it off your chest, then, you know, if you don't, then it's just going to sit inside and stew up and boil up, and it's no good. You'll just become sort of old and bitter.
But
I just found it, you know, it helped for me. And, you know, I think that's the key. Just get it off your chest and talk about it.
Was there like a question about which things, because obviously people release autobiographies, not everything's in there, no one could. Were there things that, you know, because obviously you're then sharing it with the world, it's not like just sharing it with friends. Were there certain things that you were like, oh, I just can't, do you know what I mean? Was it a balancing act of what you let go and what you didn't?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, as anyone would know that, you know, writes a book, it's, you know, there's always certain subjects that, you know, a bit taboo, and there's always, you know, certain people that you have to keep happy as well. So, you know, you do thin sort of on a, you know, you sort of tread on a thin line, really, of, you know, who to please, who not to please. And so, yeah, it is, you've got to be careful. But, you know, thankfully, everyone was sort of happy with the end product, you know, i.e. sort of keeping your family happy, really. And, you know, it was always a book that was never out to sort of, you know, diss anyone, upset anyone. It was just, that, you know, the whole story, my premise from the start was to share my experiences and inspire. And that's the sort of feedback that I've been getting from it. It's like, you know, first off, you know, because you're on TV, it's, people think all the glam and glitz, and it's, you know, it's not all that it is all cracked up to be. We all, you know, everyone sort of comes from, you know, different backgrounds and has different experiences in growing up. And, you know, it's good to share it. You know, it just, you know, it goes to show that it doesn't, you know, matter what you come from. It's just, you know, how you channel your energies and your hobbies and stick at it and don't give up. And, you know, sort of carry on in what you believe in. And, you know, that's what drove me through sort of all along, really.
Yeah. Well, the review's been amazing. We read the Waterstones one, which is amazing. This, so their review was Sid's moving, unforgettable account of his North London childhood during the late 70s and 80s. His natural storytelling skills, authentic voice, ear for dialogue and sharp eye for detail transformed this story of loss and deprivation into a timeless tale of one individual's struggle to defy the hand felt dealt with him and came out winning. I mean, amazing.
Oh, really? That's funny. I wish the publisher sent me that, because...
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Know, no, I found that this morning. That's the Waterstones review. So, I mean, amazing. Oh,
you'll have to send that over to me, because...
I'll send that to you, mate. It's funny. It makes you sound like Shakespeare.
No, I'm not one to, you know, scour the internet and, you know, look for, you know, things.
No, yeah, but, no, it's always best not to.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I must say, you know, I did the audio as well, which is out on audio.
Oh, and, have you? You know, I always wonder, how long does that take? It must take forever.
Mate, I when I went into it, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be easy. I'm an actor. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm not the best of readers, but, you know, it took me four days to do it.
Oh, my God. And just keeping thinking, the motivation, like, because at the beginning, I'm sure it's like, yeah, and then by page 20, yeah, like, exactly. Oh, my God.
Like, and it's a five-hour running audio. Oof. And it was tough. It was hard because as I say, I'm not the best of reader. I'm a little bit dyslexic. Obviously, you know, acting scripts were, you know, a little bit different somewhat.
Yeah, well, weren't they, really, rather than whole pages?
Exactly. I mean, if I read something, I forget about what I've read in, you know, two sentences later. No, it was good. It was interesting. And then again, as well, it's like, it's that other process that, you know, I found myself when I was reading it, you know, there's things that, you know, because it took me like 3 years to write. So, you know, there were things that made me laugh and then choked me up as well. So,
yeah,
it was nice to listen, you know, like when you're learning lines, you read them out loud to sort of like hear them and listen to them. And, you know,
yeah, it's a totally different experience. Yeah, when you're reading it out.
So, yeah, no, I definitely recommend the audio as well. It's
don't sign up to do the next Harry Potter series or whatever.
No, exactly.
All right, mate. Well, you're going to still join me, but I've asked you to pick a couple of favourite songs today and we'll get them on. Have you got kind of a few?
I have. Okay, one was 80s, Ten City, which was That's the Way Love Is.
Right, brilliant. Well, let's play that one now. That's a brilliant song. That's the Way Love Is. That's cool. That's the Way Love Is. Right, let's get it on. And Sid will be back after this. That's the way love is. My guest today is still here. He's celebrating the huge success of his book, Rags to Ricky. It is Sid Owen. Hello again, mate.
Hello, mate.
So I saw a picture on your social media, actually, of the book in WH Smith's at number 3 in the chart. It must be. So it's like one of those things that you probably always, I bet everyone dreams of it, walking into like a record shop and a bookshop and seeing your book there, especially at number 3 in the chart.
It's quite surreal. And also, yeah, I mean, and then getting the, you know, well, I mean, there are many charts, but, you know, getting a number one bestseller on Amazon as well.
I know. That is a massive chart. Yeah.
And, you know, someone just texted me in the morning. They go, oh, you're number one bestseller. I was like, I'm at, you know, there are many charts, but, you know, it seems to have done really well. And, you know, it just goes to show all that hard work does, you know, it's sort of paid off. It's good. I'm chuffed with it. More, you know, also chuffed that, you know, people, the feedback as well, people have enjoyed it. And, you know, as I say before, you know, the people, you know, you have to please and sort of make everyone happy, like family and friends, you know.
How many people did you let read the book? Do you know what I mean? Before it got published, did you let certain family members read it, or did you kind of...
You know what? I didn't. The only thing I did do was certain extracts of what I did. I sort of pinged them over and just, you know, if I thought anything was a little bit on the edge, I ping the sort of paragraphs and extracts over, just to say, look, are you okay with this? So, and it, you know, to be fair, there wasn't much. As I did say before, it's a book that's for inspiring, encouraging, and you know, hopefully, you know, think, you know, on the positive side of it.
Yeah, not to make revelations that are going to annoy
yeah,
people.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's brilliant stories. Yeah. Like, I didn't realise that when you were, I think you were 13, weren't you, when you starred in the film with Al Pacino and Donald Sutherland. I mean, what a way into acting. That must have been incredible.
I know. I mean, I was young. And so, now I'd be sort of jumping out my skin.
Yeah.
Back then, I didn't quite realise who Donald Sutherland or Al Pacino were. So, I mean, it was a huge cast as well. It was, some great people in that film as well. It was, even Annie Lennox was in it. And I was
she? Oh, wow.
Yeah, Annie Lennox was in it. And I'm a huge Eurythmics fan. Stephen Berkoff, who's a very lovely big theatre actor. Joan Plowright, Nastassja Kinski.
Wow.
So there was a ton of people that were
just a little cast of
and obviously, you know, the great Dexter Fletcher, who's
a massive director,
Oscar winning director. So yeah, no, it's he was like my idol when I was back then, because he was Babyface and Bugsy Malone. So
I mean, you talk about the troubled childhood, obviously, that you had, that people get that book and you can read all about it. But was Aving acting like your saviour then? Was it? Do you think that was what, turned life around for you?
Oh, 100% it was. I mean, without even realising it, I suppose, in a way, because it was, I'd go there either before that, I'd be playing over the park, having a fight with a kid or at school, or I'd go to Anna Scher after school and just, have, these sort of improvisation plays or like scenes that you'd do that would, you're able to shout and scream and just let all your anger out in that way. So, I think in a weird way, it was, it did save me. And it was a good way of sort of channeling, my energy.
Yeah. And so we will be back. You're going to keep joining me, but buy this book, everyone. You can get it anywhere. Get it back to number one on Amazon. It's called Rags to Ricky. But let's have another song. We have one from the 80s. What's the next one?
Okay. I want to go Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Oh, absolute classic. Right. Okay. This is Sid Owen's choice of song, Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. We are back with Ricky Butcher himself, Sid Owen, whose new book, From Rags to Riches, is out now and is topping the charts. So, Sid, obviously, Ricky Butcher, one of the most prolific soap icons. First of all, do people still shout Ricky at you in the street? I'm sure they do all the time.
They do, which I'm sort of quite baffled about, because, I've not been on EastEnders for like 8-9 years. So
yeah, no, Nina Wadia said she still gets people in the street going, what would Zainab do about this that's going on now? And she's I've got no idea. I don't watch it.
I know. I mean, the good thing is you can't knock it, because, it's a huge iconic show. And, it's...
And you were probably part of it, though, at the biggest iconic time, wasn't it? And I actually said, because Daniela was on the podcast and stuff, and I said, you were probably lucky enough to have that magical, like, two people, like Patsy and Daniela, that created like these magical partnerships. So you must just remember those times like amazingly.
It was. I mean, as I say, it was probably some of the best times in my life. Not only was the show in its prime, but we were sort of in our prime as well. We were in our 20s, and lapping it all up and loving, you know, the sort
attention, because that's when there were like three channels on, so it was like people didn't have Netflix exactly, and stuff, yeah. So it was like it was huge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was literally we couldn't sort of go anywhere. We was, you know, without being recognised. So, you know, in a good things come from that, and bad things come from that. So
yeah, yeah, but, as it does with everyone.
Know, yeah, we did. No, we certainly had our fun. That's for sure.
Right, well, we're going to end with a pointless facts thing, which we do, that I've kind of made book orientated. So you won't, you don't need, you're not supposed to know the answers to these. It's more to educate people out there. Do you, I mean, I was quite baffled by these. Do you know what can you guess? It's an English comedian, I'll give you that. Best-selling autobiography ever in the UK.
Sorry?
The best-selling autobiography ever. I mean, you won't know. It's basically here for me to tell you the answers, but he's a comedian. I think he's just come back on the circuit after having some time off.
Which one is that? Sorry.
So this is, mate, it's pointless facts. So I'm going to ask you some questions, see if you can guess the answers, but it's basically...
Sorry, you distracted me there. My girlfriend was just walking out the door tapping on the window.
All right, so pointless facts. That's all right.
There's the Tesco. Sorry, I'm back in the room. Sorry, mate.
It's still good your girlfriend distracts you. That's good, a sign of the relationship. So, okay, so pointless facts, where basically you won't know the answers, but you can have a guess, but it's basically to educate the listeners. So I've gone a bit autobiography themed. Can you guess what the best-selling autobiography ever is? It's by an English comedian, actually.
What, old school?
Michael he's new, McIntyre? Actually. He's new, and he's just not new, but he's just come Mo back Gillingham. On the circuit.
Mo Gillingham?
No, it's actually Peter Kay. So his autobiography made £9 million.
Wow. I mean, he is amazing. So
he is. Paul O'Grady's second, making £7 million. And Obama, President Obama, is way down, £4 million.
Really?
Yeah. It's incredible that, wow. Isn't it? And then Sid Owen at the moment is creeping up. The back
yeah,
line.
Exactly. Let's get it back up there. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Buy rags to riches, everyone. Can you guess as well? This is I was surprised because I thought number two would be number one. The highest grossing author of all time.
Right. Okay. There's I hazard a guess, but it's either Rowling, Jane. I know it sounds silly. Jamie Oliver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or. Although, is he an author? Is he? Well, he's still an author. He's does.
Yeah. Well, no. So J.K. Rowling is second.
Oh right. Okay.
She's made £394 million.
Right.
Oh my God! Actually James Patterson at number one. Who I don't think I've read it. I know the name. £605 million.
Wow. I would have said. The Da Vinci Code or what was
called? Oh, yeah, Robert, yeah, he's... I've actually only written down the top four, but he was definitely on the list. Danielle Steele was number three.
Yeah.
The romance novel was £167 million. That's mad, wow. Isn't it, though? God.
Crazy.
Okay, and EastEnders won. The highest rated episode of EastEnders got 30 million, which is literally...
That was my episode.
Yeah, it was. Well done, yeah.
Yeah, we got 32 million. I looked at the stats and I've got five in the top 10.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
32 million. That just shows any younger listeners, which there'll be loads of out there that watch telly and Netflix, like 32 million would never come close. I think Line of Duty got 15, which is the last one to get loads. But yeah, that is absolutely amazing. And then do you know the most married person in the show? It's character-wise.
Cool. The most married has got to be Phil Mitchell.
No, it's Ian Beale.
Oh, right.
Five times, yeah. So amazing. We'll end on it. So remember, everyone, to learn all the stories of EastEnders and all life before, and there's a big life before, then Sid Owen's book is out now. Let's get it back to number one so he's fighting Peter Kay for the top spot of the autobiography.
Exactly.
It's called Rags to Ricky. But let's end with, we need to talk about, obviously, you've not just had a brilliant acting career, and now you're an author. You also were a pop star. Your single got into the top 20. Was that like, just that must have been, again, just a brilliant time? Because that's what everyone wants to release, a single.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. It's like, as a child, a dream, you know, growing up watching Top of the Pops. And, you know... And you know, I enjoy singing. I love sort of reggae music as well. But it was just one of them things. I was quite happy after that. I was like, you know, people were like, why didn't you carry on? I was like, well, to be honest with you, it was tough as well back then, being on a soap and doing a record. It was like, you know, a lot of soap people were doing it and jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're up on the firing line. And I just thought with this, I was like, okay, done. I've fulfilled my dream. I've got a top 20 hit, done, sung in front of 100,000 people. That's and mad. Been on Top of the Pops. So I'm like, you know, I was happy to throw the towel in.
Yeah. Right. Well, Sid, it's been a mate. Have you got one more song to give us?
One more song. Okay. Any Luther Vandross song.
Oh, okay, right, brilliant. Let's put some Luther Vandross on. Oh, okay, that's brilliant. And we're also going to play, because we have to, Sid Owen's very own single before that.
Well, good. There you go. I should have said my one.
You should have, yeah. It's a cover of Michael Jackson. I didn't realise it was a cover of Michael Jackson's song, actually. Good Thing Going, which is his top 20 hit. What an amazing man. Well, mate, it's been amazing to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Nice one. Thanks, Lee.
And just remember to go and get his book. It's called Rags to Ricky, and it's out now. All right, speak to you soon, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
That girl, she does something to my chemistry.
The brilliant Sid Owen then. I will get Sid back when he rejoins EastEnders for another chat. Let's hope that's soon. I can see him bringing some much needed cheer to Albert Square. I will be back next week. Watch out for another bonus edition of the podcast. And it's Pop from the Box. It's a music star coming later this week. Remember, there are over 60 episodes to listen to right now wherever you download your podcast. So click on and listen to all the others now. I hope you have a fabulous week. See you soon.